Bible, if you would like to, the book of Matthew, if you would. And you can go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to get to that in just a moment, and the Lord willing, I'm only going to speak to you for probably an hour and 15 or so minutes tonight. Yeah, I'm kidding, all right? But there's really two messages that I want to share with you. And the one is the same one that I've shared with you over the past 3 or 4 weeks, as we came really into the month of February and the last week of January, we began preaching about and talking about the need of prayer in the church and how that we so frequently have prayer services, the first and third, while the kids and teenagers are out. We try to really focus on prayer. But I told you that there's three things that are going on that we just need God to intervene in. And so I hope that you have been faithful in praying for these things. And we started out, which we're back at it tonight, by talking to this side over here. We've rotated it through, and I think, if I'm right, we're back on this side praying for the church again. This week, this church, of course, the Church of America, of course, is one of our great burdens, is to see the Lord's church in America revived again. And to see churches that are dying all across this nation have a breath of life that comes back into us again. And it starts right here. We can do nothing about all those other churches out there, but we can do something about this one. And we need to ask God to touch this church. We've been going through and we've been praying that God would give us healing for our bodies. In other words, He would get us well and keep us well. And so we were praying for the church and we were praying for a healthy body, that God would help us to have clarity and clear from this sickness that has been going around, that our church has had 4 waves of sickness of some form, whether it be flu or whatever it is. We've been praying that God, most churches have, right? We've been praying that God would get us well and that God would keep us well and that He would build a hedge around us. And so I've been asking each side to pray, and we've rotated it through. I think we're back over here. And I'm asking y'all to pray again. Keep praying this week for the church, the Church of America, that we would have a healthy body, but also beyond that, that we would have a helpful building as well. In other words, building in the body, the church, that it would grow. God would send pieces to be able to expand His work and His ministry. So I ask you tonight, pray please for the church. Pray that God will get us well, keep us well, and then that the Lord will grow His church and build His church, that we'll be able to do more for missions, that we'll be able to reach more people here, that we'll be able to expand our ministries. We expand the church ministries as God gives the people for that. I know there's several areas of need right now. There's nursery holes that there are that we've got to fill, and all kinds of things that we need God's people to come together for. And so we need to pray that God will send the pieces that He would have for these things. So we're praying over here for the church. You remember that. And then in the center, we're praying for this matter. And again, things that we can't do a lot about in our country. The only hope for our country is prayer, that God will step in. You know, we've tried everything else. And that's where we really started going wrong. We started trying everything else. When you take God out of stuff, everything will fall apart. I couldn't help but think, Joel, about how the fact the city, the community of Linwood took God out of it some 50 years ago and voted in drink by the alcohol, liquor by the drink, or selling it here in this little community. And you look at what has happened in the past 50 years. Sin has devastated the Linwood community. What was its own nice town 50 years ago? Sin has destroyed. It's the same way with a nation. If you remove God out of it, sin will take over and sin will destroy it. And you need to pray for this. And I challenge you tonight in the center section, be sure and pray for our nation. Pray that our politicians will see the Lord. Those that are in charge of our nation, in charge of our state, in charge of our local community, somebody will get the gospel to them if they're lost, and they'll be saved. It'll save us a whole lot of trouble if we'll stop fussing and fighting about what's going on and start praying for them, that they'll get their hearts right. And everything will change if folks will just get saved. We need to pray that politicians will see the Lord. We need to pray that people will see the light, meaning the citizens, that we will see the light not only judgment beginning at the house of God, but that the American people will see our nation is on the wrong track. We need to move back to the righteous things of God. We need to pray that the people in America will see that and pray for those that protect us, the protectors, that they'll have loyalty. We will defend our military and those that are out on the streets, our police officers and such things, of the onslaught that has been upon them. We need to pray for these needs in our country, and only God can intervene. And then we talked about on this side, praying for this matter of COVID, asking God to reveal whatever deception that there is involved, that we don't fall into it. And then we're asking God to stop the virus, the disease, in its tracks. I'm thankful that we've seen some movement there. It seems like there's some things that are getting better. We need to pray that no more variants come. The church can get back to moving again and get back in full strength. We are still feeling the repercussions of all this 2 years later. We look around people, four families that were doing so well for the Lord that I know of. Hear every service. Children, they were keeping them in church. But COVID has distracted them. And we need to pray. God will help us to get them back in here and keep this virus away from us. So we need to pray for these things. And so tonight, when we pray, don't forget that. However, that's my first message, okay? However, here's the second thought I want to share with you. Matthew chapter 9. We'll talk to you for just a few minutes about this. Won't be long at all. We'll spend a few minutes in prayer. As we are beginning to approach, this is the last prayer service that we will have before we get into the mission conference. As we begin to approach the mission conference, I really would love to see us spend some time tonight in prayer for this. Now, I've told you before, look, I love revival meetings. I believe in them. I love children's meetings, such as Bible school, and I love youth conferences, as we'll do, and whatever other meetings that we can have. But I just believe that the heartbeat of the church, the heartbeat of God is missions. Therefore, it's the heartbeat of the church. I believe it's the most important meeting that we have. Because what we are doing here is determining as a church what we're going to be able to do to reach people for Christ. Every dollar that comes in goes back into missions. Every dollar that does. And you and I this year, we need to be more laser focused, I think, than we ever have before in the previous nine or the previous however many that we've ever been involved in missions. A couple reasons why. Because of what I just described a few minutes ago. How that we've seen such a changing of the guard. And the Lord carrying some home. That's in God's hands. But another reason is, any way you look at it, we're 1 year closer to the trumpet sounding than we were back last mission conference. We're closer now. And we've got to realize time is running out. And so when we come to Matthew chapter number 9, we find such a fantastic couple of verses of Scripture. And I'm just going to read two of them here. You can remain seated. You will recognize them. And I revisit these once or so a year as we come into mission conference, because what we are seeing here is the prayer request of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, you and I make prayer requests all the time, don't we? We'll pray for this physical need, this financial need. We will pray for, as we talked about the church, we'll pray for the country, we'll pray for COVID, we'll pray for whatever is on our hearts, and all of those are important, and we should pray for them. But it really ought to get our attention when Jesus Christ Himself makes a prayer request. What we see here is basically a request from God Himself that is being given, beginning in the 37th verse. Then said He, that is Jesus, unto His disciples, He says, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, here it is. Jesus says, pray ye therefore. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He is saying, hey guys, here's my prayer request to you. I'm asking you, fellas, would you please pray about something for me? What's He say? Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, and He will send forth laborers into the harvest. Jesus is saying, pray, God will send people out to win these souls before it's too late. Think about that. I'm going to share three things with you in just a minute concerning it. I was having lunch with Dad today, and we were talking at the table about the matter of missions, and we were talking about how so oftentimes so many churches, so many pastors, they will say and they will give the impression that they are on board with missions. Missions is a big deal to them. And they'll always say the right things. They'll always pursue it in that way verbally. But you know, so oftentimes in their actions, they don't prove it. I don't ever want to be that way, do you? I want to talk about missions being a big deal. But I also want to prove in my actions and in this church that missions is a big deal. You say, I've heard people say before, I tell you what, preacher, we ought to reach this community first. I agree. Every person in this community needs to hear the gospel. God's given us a plan in His Word for a means to be able to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, He says. Therefore, God says you got to do both at the same time. He says in Jerusalem, that's your local community. Hey, say Linwood, say Lafayette, say Walker County. And then He says Judea, say that would be our state. Samaria, that'd be our country, uttermost part of the earth. We're to go everywhere we can with the gospel. And that's why that we do what we do and support missionaries the way that we strive to do it. And so therefore, when we look at this, I don't want to be the guy that talks big about it. But we do not back up that talk. I want us to be a church and a people who see a world that are literally on their way to hell. You look at the world right now and you see this place is in trouble, and there's no problem in this world that cannot be fixed by the mighty cross of Jesus Christ. Ukraine and Russia can be fixed with Calvary. Iran and Israel can be fixed with Calvary. China, Taiwan can be fixed with Calvary. Everything in America can be fixed with Calvary. I think we all agree on that. But are we proving that? As we come to this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9, we find the Lord Jesus. He is crisscrossing across the countryside. He is preaching the kingdom of God. The gospel, the Bible calls it. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have heard Jesus preach His very own gospel? He's preaching the gospel as He goes, and while He is crisscrossing the countryside, He comes to the point, when we come to verses 37 and 38, He comes to the point, and it's almost like He would stop in His tracks as He was walking across the countryside, and He looks and He sees the multitude, verse number 36 declares to us. The Bible says that Jesus Himself was moved with compassion. In other words, His heart was stirred. His heart began to beat heavier and faster. It began to hurt even because He knew that those folks, they needed Him. They needed His truth. They needed to be saved. His heart was moved with compassion. When was the last time your heart was moved with compassion for people around us, people on the other side of the world who need Christ? I was watching an interview today, this morning, I guess, while I was getting ready to start my day, and they were interviewing people on the streets in Kiev, Ukraine, the capital city there. And they were going about, they said, business as usual and such things. And I couldn't help but think about, is anybody going to get the gospel to that person? A member of the Fox News media went to them to interview them, but why is there not somebody, a child of God, getting to them with the gospel? My heart was moved toward that. Our hearts need to be moved with compassion to the need that is there. See, the way that we will reach people with the gospel is to get the gospel to the people. I know that sounds elementary, but that is the truth. And the only way that we'll ever be able to do that is if we get laborers to the field. Ultimately, in Matthew chapter 9, in these verses, that's exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about. He stopped and He saw the multitude. And do you know what I think? I think He looked and He saw these 12 disciples. It's going to be hard for you to reach all of these people with just 12 of you. There needs to be more. There needs to be more people. And as I look around now at nearly 8 billion people on planet Earth, and probably evangelical Christian missionaries, less than 10,000, I would say, wouldn't you? Across the entire globe, that are sharing a true gospel of denominations that would actually share the gospel. Can you see how much of a challenge that is? And so when I read these words and I consider the setting of the story, I can understand why now more than ever before, Jesus made this prayer request. We need more people to go and share my news and my message with the world. We need laborers. Three things let me give you about these laborers. Pray for the surrender of laborers. Pray for the surrender of laborers. You look again in verse number 37. He says right here, the harvest truly, look at that word truly. Jesus is saying there's no way right now that you can go a different direction from this. There is truly a need. There's truly a problem. There's more people out here that need the gospel than what we have to be able to get it to them. You know what Jesus is ultimately saying? He is saying there is a supply and a demand problem. There is a supply and a demand problem. We need to pray that laborers will go out into the field, that they will surrender their lives to actually go to the mission field. I'm all for praying for missionaries. I am. You know that. We do that. We pray as much as we can for them. There comes a point when we need to pray that God will call more people into missions to be able to get out there. But we must be careful how we pray. Because the way to pray effectively with this is to understand that you may be the answer to your very own prayer request. You see, you've got to understand the fact it is a hypocritical prayer, I think, sometimes, if we pray that God will send more laborers out there, but it's only for everybody else and not me. You see, what God is wanting to see in all of our hearts today is a prayer that is so pure in this that we say, dear God, would you please send more laborers? And I'm so passionate in it that I want to be open to going myself to Kiev, Ukraine, to that labor. I want to be open myself to going to China, Moscow, Greenland, Mexico, Europe, wherever it might be. God, that is how serious I am about this. And that's why many of us won't pray that prayer. Because we're scared to death that God may call us. Oh, but hey, I got too many moving parts, Lord. I can't do it. Too many things aren't in line for me to be able to do it. My mind is immediately drawn to Alan Lord. Alan Lord was a 75-year-old man, we support him here, and surrendered his life to go to Tel Aviv, to go overseas to be able to share the gospel. And he's over there as we speak, sharing Christ, 81 years old. Amen. How many of us really are that committed to that, that at the age of 75, now 81, we were that serious about this thing? That, Lord, I'm going to be willing to be the answer to my own question. Doesn't mean prayer. Doesn't mean that God's going to send us. But in truth of heart, we have got to in here mean, God, as I pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The only way that prayer is going to be heard by God, I believe, and affectionate in our own hearts and effective, is if we truly mean that we are willing to lay ourselves down ourselves for it. So tonight, as you pray for the surrender of laborers, remember that our prayer, to be genuine in so many ways, it must mean that we have a surrendered heart. God may want to send us to do something. He may not. He may just want us to hold the ropes back here through prayer, through giving so somebody else can go. But we need to pray. That's what Jesus is saying. We need to pray for the surrender of laborers. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Pray that more will go to share the gospel. Pray for the supply of the laborers. Pray for the supply of laborers. Now hear me. This is going to blow your mind. This is so profound, what I'm about to say. It is going to blow your mind. Are you ready? Here it is. You ready? The work of God through missions takes money. And folks, it takes a lot of money. Now, everything we give through the local church here goes to missions, goes straight back out into the mission field in some way. It takes so much money to be able to do what these guys are doing out there. You think gas is high in Lafayette, Georgia? Let me take you to Brussels, Belgium, where you're paying $9 and $10 a gallon for gas. By the liter, that's right. Let me take you over to some of these European countries where you're going to be paying $8 and $10 for a gallon of milk. Again, sold by the liter. It is expensive for these folks. I remember when we were in Wiesbaden, Germany, and we were looking for a place to live. And goodness, this has been 27 years ago, I guess. I remember so clearly as us looking for a place to live. We looked at one place, it was a townhouse, four stories, I believe it was, $3,500 a month. Did you hear me? What kind of house could you live in for $3,500 a month over here? Gas, housing, and food, milk, and such things. It takes money to get these folks here. They're not getting rich. They need to have supply. And we need to pray. God is saying, hey, pray that they'll surrender, but pray that they'll be supplied while they are on the mission field. The missionary, you see, they cannot rely on corporate sponsorships. The missionary cannot rely on the return from wise investments that they may have had. No, the missionary relies on the faithfulness of God's people right here in the local church of God to give so that they can go and to give so that they can be there and share the gospel. They have a place to live. They got to rent a church building too. They got to pay for tracts. They're starting over in a brand new country. They've got to learn a language. They've got to learn a culture. My goodness, I went up north here recently and I felt like I was just totally out of the world. I couldn't even order a sweet tea at the steakhouse I went to. I felt strange. Imagine these folks going to a totally brand new environment and taking their kids. They don't even speak your language. They don't even speak redneck in these places. Can you imagine Randy going to a place that doesn't speak redneck? Yeah. We need to pray that God will not only send the laborers, that they'll surrender to the labor and work of God. We need to pray that God will give the supply, that they will be able to do the work. God uses the free will offerings of the local church of God to be able to get the missionary there. So we pray for the surrender of the laborers. We pray for the supply of the laborers. But I tell you what's on my heart right now. We need to pray for the stamina, the sustainability of these laborers. That God will help them not only to be able to financially stay put. As churches drop their support, as inflation goes through the roof in these other countries too, as all of that is happening, folks, we need to pray that God will not only give them the financial means to stay there, but we need to pray that God will give them the grit in their heart, the determination to stay and work in a difficult place, to be able to do the work of God. Sometimes missionaries get a bad rap. And people think, my goodness, they world travelers. They got it made. They're over there doing this. They're over there doing that. They're getting to live in Europe. Let me assure you, it is not all what it's cracked up to be. I lived there for nearly 10 years. And while I wouldn't take anything for it, I'll talk to you about that here week after next. While I wouldn't take anything for it, there were some things that a teenage boy missed. There were some things that my sister missed. There were some things that my dear mother missed There were some things that my father missed. Joyce served in New York for 27 years. There were some things that she missed by doing that work of God. You understand that there's a sacrifice that is involved. We've got to pray that they'll surrender the laborer's will, that there'll be a supply for these laborers. We need to pray that God will just sustain them. Hardly a week that passes, Randy, is there that we're not hearing of another missionary. You got another one? I hadn't even heard of that one yet, I guess. Another missionary coming off the field. We got to replace it. Coming off the field constantly, and there's a good example. Hadn't even heard that yet. Last week I heard of another one. They're coming off the field. Who's reaching these people when these missionaries are coming back? Things are hard out there for them right now. They've been fighting the COVID battle just like we have, and they've been doing it in a different country and in different ways. Folks, we got to pray for these laborers. Do you really feel that you're doing enough to support missions across the world, whether it be in prayer, or whether it be in giving, or whether it be in going? For us to pray this prayer, we've got to pray it to be effective in our hearts, a pure heart. We've got to understand, what if God wants us to? People say all the time, I'm praying that God will send and call more preachers into the ministry. Praying that God will call more missionaries into His work. And I'm adding that to my prayer list, we'll say. But have you ever considered putting your own name on your prayer list? That's a prayer that will get a hold of God. That, Lord, the need is so great, I want to pray in a way that if you will allow and if you will make a way, I myself am even willing to go. That's a surrendered heart. God may never send you or I, but if you want to see God move in your life, you've got to come to the point to where you're giving everything. Father, thank you for your word. Simple thoughts tonight to try to challenge us to be surrendered to you. Help us, I pray, to be so. Now help us as we pray now, glorified with it in Jesus' name. Amen.